Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to the table. I'm your host, Cody Dewitt, and thank you so much for being here today. It is so good to be back. I really, really missed this whenever we had to take some time away. I'm sure you may have noticed that there was a prolonged period of time there where there were no new episodes. Had some life kind of take place after we uploaded the episode in early October, including but not limited to Sarah having a wreck and totaling her car, and us going on vacation very shortly after that. Many things took place that prevented me from being able to record, but we're back now. We uploaded an episode last week with Adrian Dobbs where he and I sat down to talk about technology and the things that it does to us. So if you didn't get a chance to go listen to that one, go ahead, give it a listen. I think you'll like it. More laid back, no fancy intro, no outro, nothing like that. Just Adrian and I talking. Speaking of talking, I recently had the opportunity to sit down with Alicia Firth and her sister, Mackenzie Smith, to talk about foster care. That's not the only thing we talked about, but that was a huge talking point of this episode. We sat down and we had a wonderful discussion about many things going on in their lives and their perspective of the foster care system and their also in their experience in the foster care system. It was a wonderful conversation. We really had a great time recording it. And so now, without further ado, I would like to share that with you. I really hope you enjoy it. And now here I am with the two songbirds of the North, Alicia Firth.
Hey.
And Mackenzie Smith.
Yay!
Yay! Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing good.
Perfect.
Okay. And how are y'all?
Good.
Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having us. It's finally happening.
Absolutely. Yes. We've been talking about this for quite a while.
And yeah, I think this is the perfect time to do it.
It's going down. Yeah. Why is this the perfect time to do it, Alicia?
Because November is National Adoption Month.
Yes, it is.
And actually, last week, we celebrated 2 years of adopting our three siblings, Stephen Edmund.
Who is adorable.
Yes. Nathan Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Jaden. So, and then in December, we will be celebrating where we adopted in 05.
I was 11. I'm 26 now, so it's what?
It's been 15 years.
15 years, yeah.
Wow. 15 years since we've been adopted, so.
Wow, my goodness. And I learned, as I said to you a while ago, I did some research, ding, ding,
yes.
And I learned that in 1984 is when President Reagan proclaimed the first National Adoption Week, and in 1995, President Clinton expanded the Awareness Week to the entire month of November. So the more you know, there
that
it is.
That is a good thing.
And we're going to go ahead and get into that, into the whole adoption situation and just a bunch of things related to that. But first, we got to talk about the North.
Oh.
Because you two are not from here.
We are not from here. In case you didn't notice, when we introduced ourselves, we said, hi, you guys.
Hi, you guys. As opposed to, hey, y'all.
Yeah. Yes.
Y-A-W.
I do have to tell you guys. So it was a couple weeks ago, we were at a bonfire at the Birds, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking of something, and I was like, y'all. And y'all. I was like, you guys, I just did it.
You did. Which is hilarious because you said y'all and then you said you guys. I just did it.
Like my thing is, it's not like I'm defiant against it. It's just I've noticed that when people do move down, they kind of almost force that Southern accent, and I want it to just kind of come naturally. So
you got to give it time.
And I will.
Yeah, yeah. You married Trey Firth,
who is like he's got the long drawn
who's been
accent.
On the show.
Yes,
he's been here.
Yes, he is.
A Story of Restoration.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to it, there are other episodes to listen to.
Absolutely.
So, yes. So
let's talk about the North. First of all, where from in the North are you from? That was a weird way to ask that question.
Well, when we talk about North Dakota, first of all, I have to say Mount Rushmore is not in North Dakota. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of people, when they hear North Dakota, they automatically assume South Dakota, which are two totally different countries.
Not
countries, states.
But yeah. Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota, right?
It is.
Okay.
And we are in the state that's north.
Got you.
And then we are actually from Grand Forks, North Dakota. Every time I introduce myself, they're always like, oh, like, where's that from? And I'm like, okay, well, it borders Minnesota and North Dakota, and we're on the North Dakota side. And then we are about 100 miles south of the Canadian border. So we're pretty much Canadians.
You're pretty much Canadian. Okay.
Yeah.
Not sure that's how that works, Alicia.
No, that's not how it works.
But that's okay.
Yeah, you can pretty much do that.
So what is it like up there?
Well,
I know it's a very broad question, but yeah. Let's start with the weather. What's the weather like up there?
Freezing.
Freezing?
As of right now, when I have looked up, it's usually North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota is usually the second coldest city in America. So
the second coldest city in America.
Second coldest.
That's where
city
I need to be.
In America. It's one of those where it's
like you breathe and it hurts.
Really?
Yes. Like I don't know how to explain it, but if you breathe, it hurts. Your
I have
face
asthma.
Hurts.
Yeah, I have asthma. So one day, I was chewing minty gum and I go out to my car and I was breathing. It hurt to breathe. Like tip to the upper northwest. Never chew gum. And like it gets to negative 15 degrees, but that literally feels like negative 50 wind chill.
It might as well be.
And
I mean, if you're in the negatives, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have, down here, we have car starters to cool your car off. As for up north, we have it for starting your car in the winter.
Wow.
And sometimes it doesn't always start.
I can't see. I've never experienced cold like that. I can't even wrap my mind around it.
No.
I don't think you can wrap your mind around it unless you've actually lived in it.
Yeah.
Like, I know when I was at the University of North Dakota, we had to go to classes when it was negative 40 without wind chill still. And I actually have a spot on my ankle that was frostbitten, and so that part on my ankle is always dry and it always itches.
That's
so it's like when you think of it that way, that they still make you go to the school even though when it's so cold you can get frostbite. It's kind of it kind of changes how you think of cold.
Absolutely. Well, I take it back. Thank you, Taya. Appreciate you, brother.
Taya
Escanair, everybody follow him on Instagram. I don't want cold. He brought us hot chocolate. That's why I was thanking him. He already brought me some, but he brought the lady some. Mackenzie, Alicia, and Sarah, my wife, is also here. She's back there. She's doing something on her phone. She's hanging out. I don't want that cold. I enjoy the kind of cold we're having now, minus the rain.
Because
it's like 40 something here now.
It's very wet. It's the wet feeling. I remember I went up to North Dakota last year for Christmas. And it was like a 70-degree difference.
Jeez.
It was very cold. And I remember I was like, I'm going back home. I'm going back to Mississippi. And I get here, and I was so cold because it was wet.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of being cold and wet, it's miserable. As
it
for
is.
Up there, it's dry and cold.
And that's what we had that, I guess it was last Saturday. It was cold. Cold and but dry. It was beautiful weather.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some, besides the weather, what are some of the main differences between up there and down here?
Well, North Dakota also has the geographical center of North Dakota, or North America, which is Rugby, which it's a pretty big deal, I guess. So we aren't near any kind of water. And
oh, that's true.
The big things for us, like, are the lakes, I guess. People, they look like, on the weekend, people look forward to going to the lake.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing that they do, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many differences. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. It's literally a culture shock moving from North Dakota to Mississippi. It's totally different. Everything about, literally everything is very, very different.
Do they have Taco Bell?
We do. And that another thing that we have, which is weird, is a Taco John's.
Taco John's.
I actually prefer that to Taco Bell. I don't like Taco Bell.
So
you're dismissed. You're dismissed.
Okay.
There's the door. No, I'm just kidding.
See you later, guys.
So any relation to Papa John's?
No.
No. Taco John's, it's
Mexican.
It's very, very Tex-Mex too, but they have these potato oles, which are just like these like circular like hash browns. that people go crazy over. So that is something that we have in the Midwest.
Okay, okay. So what else is available there that's not here?
We have, okay, Starbucks is good, but Caribou Coffee.
Caribou Coffee.
Caribou Coffee is very good. It's, there's, I think their stuff is a little sweeter too, but they've got different flavors. They've got their own stuff that they have. Tim Hortons, which I know that people have heard of that. Mm-hmm. It's a donut shop and.
It's Canadian.
Yeah.
It is Canadian. See?
Do they have poutine?
Oh, poutine's good. If is you guys it? Haven't tried it, poutine's I have real not. Good.
I can't wrap my mind around it. I've heard it's great, though.
It is great. It's very good.
I tried a poutine pizza one time. And what?
That sounds actually disgusting.
That sounds really bad.
It was disgusting. Like, yeah. My friend had like said that she tried it, and when I tried it, I was like, this is really,
did you
really
eat
disappointing.
It at Tim Hortons?
I did not. No, because they don't have that at Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons is like Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts is the American version of Tim Hortons. Do we have a Dunkin' Donuts here? I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have them down there.
Yeah, Tim Hortons is like the Canadian version.
I'm also trying to think, do we have anything else up north that they don't have?
I think there's more things that we don't have that they do.
The first of which being Blue Bell ice cream?
Yeah.
There's no Blue Bell up there.
There's no Blue Bell up
Why?
There.
Why?
I've never heard of Blue Bell until I got here. I didn't know it was a big deal.
Have you had some?
I did.
Okay, good.
I got some.
Okay, good. Very good. Lord, okay. I thought we were going to have to stop recording and go get this child some Blue Bell. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense, I guess, though, that we would have things, more things here that you don't have.
Yeah, we're very, very... Okay, so North Dakota, it's a very, very big state. But I think we have the smallest population for our size. Hmm. So that's another thing about it. So,
what if North and South Dakota just put aside their differences and just became Dakota?
That actually, that's what they
be.
That's what they were wanting to do.
They should.
And I don't know the whole. Maybe I should have done my research on this, but North Dakota became the 39th state, and South Dakota became the 40th, just because of the alphabetical order. But yeah, they were the Dakotas.
They should split. They should, North and South Dakota should become Dakota, and then California should do what they've been talking about doing, splitting into like six different states, and let's just rock the world.
Or just split up into the middle of the ocean.
Wow, she said that. I didn't say that. That was not me. I have a lot of friends and a lot of listeners in California. God bless you all. Please don't go out into the sea. Let's see here. So what brought you here? You were raised up there. What brought you here?
Well, I guess I should probably start because I came here first.
Okay, you start.
Yeah, so I moved here last July, actually, and I had a lot of stuff going on, actually. I had just ended a relationship, and just because I knew it wasn't what God wanted. And I was feeling really down. I was up in North Dakota, and I just didn't feel like I was growing. And one day, my mom messaged me, and she goes, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And so, you know, went home, and I talked to her, and she just goes, you know, I feel like you feel like you're stuck here. She goes, but I just want to let you know to just keep holding on. And, you know, if you hold on, then God is going to do something in your life. So then she was kind of talking to me, I think she was thinking of places that I could possibly move. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Fargo, North Dakota, which is where my best friend lives. But I didn't feel like I wanted to move there. And then she goes, well, what about Cousin Rochelle? And I was like, Rochelle? I was like, okay. I always see her stuff on Facebook. And I was like, she's from Mississippi. Like, That's crazy. And I will let you guys know, at the beginning of 2017, Mississippi was not on my mind at all. So
that's fair.
Yeah. And so, like, 4 months later, like, anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So I messaged Rochelle, and we talked a little bit, and I think, like, 2 days later, I bought my ticket to come down here.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was here. I came at the end of March, beginning of April, and I came here, and I mean, we went to New Orleans the first day, but for the most part, it wasn't like a vacation. It was just kind of like what life would be like if I were here. So I did come here for Connect Service. And I think it was a soapbox, actually. And I'm actually pretty shy. I'm very observant, so I observe people. just so I don't put myself out there. But I just remember, so that was that. And then Sunday I came, and Brother Bird and Christina come up to me, and they wanted me to, like, fill out this thing. And then they added me on social media. And so, I mean, I felt welcome that day. It was just, like, I met Sister Dobbs, you know, and, like, I had these people telling me that they loved me. And I was just like, okay.
Never met you before, don't know your name, but love you back.
But, like, you feel it at the same time.
Yeah.
And so Wednesday night, you know, I talked to a little more people, but I remember leaving and I was just like, okay. I was like, I don't love it here. I was like, but I feel like this is what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
So after I got back, I was just like, okay, I'm going to move. And I just, like I said, I had a lot of stuff going on. Like, I had my sister, Mackenzie, like, she just announced that she was going to be going to Scotland. And, I mean, we've grown up together. Like, right. We got the Holy Ghost on the same day. We were baptized on the same day.
Wow.
So, like, for that, it was just, it was hard. I don't do well with change.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like God was wanting me to, like, branch off and do my own thing and not always depend on my sister. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 3 months, 4 months later, I had moved here and I had quit my job and I didn't have a job, like, lined up at all. I just knew that this is what God wanted me to do. And, like, 3 days before I had left, I got a message from Brother Bird saying that he needed, or that there was an opening at Southern Hearts Hospice.
Shout out to Southern Hearts Hospice. Yes.
So, yeah, and here I am now, and I am a coworker of you and Trey. So, yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. So,
well, that's quite the story. So, whenever you first came down here and you said that you didn't love it, what did you not love?
It's very small.
Yeah.
And I remember that was just like, okay, like, I don't know how I'm going to keep myself busy,
mm-hmm.
but I'll do something. I guess I'll do what I always do, and I'll just work, and I'll go home. And, I mean, I do have family to go back to. I think in things like Wiggins or, like, just smaller towns, it's the people and the friends that you have that make it not boring,
yeah.
I guess. And I think that's what I was the most worried about was, is it going to be boring?
Like, am I going to have to go on hay rides by myself or with friends?
Yeah,
I got you.
So there was that, but yeah.
And what about you, Mackenzie? What brought you here?
My family, to be quite honest. So I announced I was going to Harvest Bible College in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
A few months before Alicia was about to leave that August, and then I had no plans after Scotland. I didn't know what to do or where I was going to go, really. I was just like, oh, I'll just figure out when I get there. I'm kind of a I'll get there when I get there type person. It. Yeah, I'm just going to wing it.
It's a blessing, but sometimes it's a little.
Know. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, very laissez-faire. But I was just talking to people over in Scotland, kind of trying to figure out what to do, and talking with my parents, and they were like, we think you should move here, and the church is really great. And not only that, but they learned that Brother Dobbs's sister used to be a missionary of the country that I'm going to go to.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh, okay, this is really interesting. This is okay. So I made plans when I came back. I was going to be in North Dakota, raise funds for my AIM trip. And then I was going to come to Mississippi and do that. And I didn't really have an idea. I didn't know.
You had to come down to Mississippi anyways.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know anything of Mississippi. And to be honest, I got here the 1st of September. So I'm still kind of adjusting to Mississippi life. This is very new to me.
Yeah.
So when I was talking about culture shock, I'm still in that trying to adjust to a different culture and figure out, okay, what's my niche? What am I going to do here? I'm not here for long. It's kind of a transition at the moment, but I know I've established this as my like home base. Yeah. So I don't know what Mississippi has in store for me or what I can offer Mississippi, but that's coming here was kind of just the right step to do, the next wise step to do. Yeah, and so that's why I came.
Very cool. So Scotland.
Yes. Scotland.
How was that?
So I just graduated from Harvest Bible College. You guys should go look it up. It's an awesome place, but it's in Glasgow, Scotland, and I absolutely loved it. I went to Bible school there. It's kind of funny how I ended up going to Scotland. I felt God calling me to Bible school. I looked at all the Bible schools in the U.S. because I'm like, where else am I going to go? Right. I have to go in the
U.S.
Can't
go overseas.
Like, what am I going to do? So I was just asking around, and ironically, the cook that was there 2 years before went to our church, and her niece was talking to me about Scotland, and I remember she told me, she's like, Mackenzie, why don't you consider Scotland? You want to do missions anyways. That's where you feel called to go. Why don't you do Scotland? And I flat out rejected her. I was like, no, not in the U.S. Sorry.
I don't want to go overseas.
It wasn't that. It was like this feeling of...
Were you scared?
No, I wasn't scared. It was like, can I go there? Like, is this something that can actually happen?
That's not something I do. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Exactly. I'm like, that's not logical.
Right.
At that moment, but then 2 weeks later she brought it up again, and so just something was like, yes, this is the right step. So I literally like applied that same day. I like sent all the information in a year early before I was supposed to go, and I was just talking to different friends and my parents trying to get a feel for it. But I just like, I can always tell when God's saying move to this next step, because there's like this anticipation and this feeling of like urgency to go and do it.
Right.
I'm sure we've all felt that before, and that's how it was for Scotland. So I went over there, and it's gorgeous, and I was in Glasgow, Scotland, and that's where the school's located, and it was life-changing. It's kind of I don't know the right word, a cliche. You're like, oh, it's a Bible college. Yeah, you know, it's life-changing, you guys. But honestly, for me, it took me out of my comfort zone. It brought me to a totally different culture. So yet again, I'm like, culture shock.
Yeah.
But everything about it was exactly what I needed when I needed it. And I believe God really used that place as a transition place for me to get to where I'm supposed to be going. And I learned a lot about myself, about ministry, about being around other people from different places. And it was just a really great experience for me. And I got to see a bunch of cool things.
Yeah.
I got to visit a bunch of different places. I was all over the UK. I went to Ireland, France, Turkey, Bulgaria.
My goodness.
Like, I love traveling.
Fill up that visa book.
Yeah.
I was traveling, and I love traveling. I'm very adventurous and I like to go and do things. So not only was it very, like, good for me spiritually, but my adventurous side was definitely, like, taking it all in.
Yeah,
I was, like, saturate
sure.
me in this, like, place in this moment. So it was
goodness.
Great. Yeah.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, not everybody gets to say that they graduated from a Bible college from a different country.
Right.
Like,
I graduated in Scotland. Where did you graduate? I didn't.
Same.
No, I did graduate, but just not college. I graduated high school. Anyway, I set out what I accomplished to do in college. I became a certified electrician. Don't at me. Okay. Okay. Awesome. I want to talk about foster care.
Okay.
Let's transition into that right now. And
okay.
I'll be honest with you. I've thought about this moment of the podcast, and I don't know what to do other than just give you ladies liberty to approach it in whatever way you see fit. So,
all right,
Alicia or Mackenzie or Alicia.
We can probably just share. Well, actually, so we grew up in North Dakota, but we weren't born in North Dakota.
No.
I was actually born 3 hours away in Escambia, Florida.
Hmm.
So I was born to a mom of five kids. And with the five kids, only two of them had the same dad. So I was born there. A couple weeks after I was born, we ended up moving to Texas. So I do remember Texas, but I just remember that by the age of 3, I started having problems with my stepdad, that I had to be taken out of the house. And for my mom to protect me, I ended up moving up to North Dakota. And I went to go live with Mackenzie and her family. But that was only for like a day or two. And then I went to go live with my grandma. Mm-hmm. And I think from like 3 to 5, I kind of went from aunts to my grandma, back to them. And then for first grade, I found out that for kindergarten, I went to an Indian reservation school.
Oh, wow.
In Montana.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah. It's weird, like, looking back on it. I think in high school I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay. Like, and, like, it's not a very funded school, but we didn't learn much. I think we played all day. And by the time first grade came around, I had moved to Grand Forks, and I was behind with school so bad.
Same.
So, but, yeah. I guess I'll start off with that, but. So Kenzie, like, we're technically cousins, if mm-hmm. you want the gist of that. But yeah. I mean, I've grown up with her that we just tell everybody that we're siblings. You know what I mean? Because we are. That's what we are. You know, everyone that we've been adopted with, we're all like real siblings.
Yeah.
That is really weird when people will ask and be like, oh, well, like, which ones are your real siblings, or which ones are your real kids? And I'm just sitting there. I'm like. They're all of them. Siblings. So, yeah. All right.
Well, especially with fostering, it's kind of. I was thinking about this idea of fostering and like foster care, and with us, because we went to 5 different foster homes before we were adopted.
We were never separated.
Yeah, Alicia and I always stayed together, but we went to 5 different foster homes. And I was looking up the definition of fostering, and it's to help develop and encourage someone to grow to be something good. And when you think of fostering a foster parent, that's what they should do, because they're taking really broken, damaged, challenging kids into their home, and they're completely changing their environment. They're giving up any normalcy in which they would have had. And they're taking these kids and they're trying to develop them to be people who are good, upstanding, our family Christians, good, upstanding citizens, people who can give back and change and break the cycle of what they went through.
Yeah.
And so whenever I think of fostering, that's what I think of. And sadly, that's not always the case in the foster system. But for us, we were very blessed that God put us where he put us.
Yeah, actually, they had our brothers a year before us. So, and I remember our mom said that she had her eye on us. And like, so we first went into foster care, I guess, when I was in second grade. And we went for a couple of months. Our mom, she struggles with a disease called schizophrenia. And our dad, he didn't know how to deal with it. So his way of coping with it was going out on the road for long amounts of time. Mm-hmm. So when you have, how many of us were there? 6 kids?
Yeah. So there was 6 of us. My mom had schizophrenia. My dad was a truck driver. So we didn't really have, I know for myself from a very young age, probably the age of 6, 5, I was the parent, basically.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a childhood, really. Yeah. Like, I wasn't a kid. I had to grow up really fast.
You had to grow up quick,
Yeah. I do remember that. So we went into foster care for a couple months, and then we went home. Mm-hmm. And usually that's what a lot of foster homes do, is they will put kids in foster homes just until the parents get better just enough, and then you find out like a year later, 6 months later, that those kids are back in foster care. And that was kind of the deal for us. So going into third grade, we ended up going back into foster care, and we were with 2 other families before we ended up with our parents now. So, and I think it was, and by now we're in fourth grade, or I'm in fourth grade, Kenzie's in fifth grade. So, and I think at that point they had realized that, like, or they were terminating our parents' rights for us. So just because they weren't able to. And around, and when I was in fifth grade, that was, you know, because growing up, the last time that I saw my mom was when I left Texas. So I you know, I'd always dream and just be like, you know, what would life be like if I were back with my mom? And I got called to go to social services one day, and it was weird. My brother was with me, but they were just like, yeah, so we got a message from this lady claiming to be your mom, and we did some research, and, like, we called to verify. And they're like, and it turns out that this lady is your mom. And they're like, but I just want to let you know that this lady just, she told us that she's sick, so your mom is dying. And I found this out in November. And so I talked to her a little bit, and, like, over the phone a couple times, but she died when I was in fifth grade in April. So,
my goodness.
Yeah. And we didn't know quite yet that we were being adopted. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
So, what was that process like in going from being fostered to adopted?
To be quite honest, it's, when you foster adopt, it's a little bit different than when you're just going through adoption. Because with adoption, you're at, usually it's like a, they're usually babies, because most people want babies. But usually they come from a place and then they go into a home they don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
But with foster adopt, you've been with them and then you're adopted after being with them for whatever the time being is. And so it's a little bit different from different adoption, or just straight adoption. And I still think there was, you still felt a shift. Yeah. You knew something was different, but your home didn't quite change yet.
Right.
And I think that was the weird thing, because you're thinking, okay, like, I'm here for a while, and then it changes, okay, I'm here forever, and then you're like, wait a second.
It's hard for it to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you're young too, you don't really know, and you still in the back of your head, you still think, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But you don't realize you're at home.
Yeah.
We do. They now have it in foster care where if you're in foster care for so long, they do put you up for adoption. And I know, like she said, people usually do want the younger kids. So we were actually a special case. Because we weren't like kids, and we weren't teenagers, but we were preteens. So there were four of us adopted. So, and I guess that just doesn't happen all the time. So,
right.
Like I said, like, it was a special case for us. So we were adopted with our two brothers. So.
So what was life like after that? After.
Well.
Being adopted.
You know, we're not going to say it, but we changed our names.
Yeah.
After we got adopted. So that was pretty weird.
So y'all chose to do that?
We're not saying the names, but yes, okay. We changed our names.
Okay.
So that was, for me, I was sixth grade going into seventh grade. And I remember they'd said like, Alicia Smith. And I rose my hand and everybody looked at me like, that's not your name.
Yeah, that was a weird transition.
Yes, it is. I can only imagine.
And I kept having people like that would say my old name, and I'd just be like, no, that's not my name at all. So
I used to hate my name when I was a child. I wanted to change it so bad. I wanted to change my name to Chris. I'm not sure why, because I do not look like a Chris whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I could see it.
Really?
I could see it.
I don't know.
But I guess the transition with that was, so we got the Holy Ghost. I guess we'll talk about that. We got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost fourth grade going into fifth grade. She got the Holy Ghost fifth grade going into sixth grade. So that happened, but we couldn't be baptized. And when you're in foster care, you can't just get baptized.
Really?
It's proselyting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember my mom had talked to our pastor and was just like, well, like, well, what do we do? Like, what if God comes back, you know? And our pastor said, well, they're covered, you know, until they're able to. So we ended up getting baptized the Sunday after we got adopted.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So it was, like I said, it was a transition because, I mean, the standards were different, you know, like when we were in foster care, I was able, like, or like I wore the pants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then fifth grade comes around and, like I said, I think that's when they figured out that they were going to adopt us because on gym days, I could wear pants. And then on non-gym days, I had to wear skirts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then sixth grade rolled around and I wore like the gym uniform. But then during school, I wore skirts. But then when seventh grade came around and the adoption was like finalized, that's when like I just started wearing skirts all around. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. Because another thing is a lot of people always focus on the transition from what's it like as the family being adopted and adopting kids. But there's also the transition between everyone around you.
Yeah.
Everybody else has to catch up just as much as you do.
Yeah.
So that makes the home transition more difficult because not everybody accepts right away. Like she was saying with our names, people wanted to keep calling us by our other name. And I'd be like, that's not my name anymore. And so it was very much kind of like, okay, how are we supposed to transition and move forward when everybody else around us still hasn't caught up? It took a while. It really did. I think it really took a while
with your name too.
Well, for other kids, like the other kids around me, like our biological family as well, I think it took over a year for them to transition.
Really?
So it's not just us trying to transition, but it's everyone you're in contact with trying to transition as well.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is everyone else, you know, how long did it take them to start calling you by your new names?
I know that they definitely, like our family started calling us it before we were even adopted.
Yeah.
So they'd been working on it for a while. So, but I'm trying to think.
For me, it was a few months. I know it was probably at least half a year, maybe longer. I still had a few friends that were holding out.
You still had some friends that were still holding out, like, years after. You had, like, one friend that kept calling you that.
Yeah. Is there a particular reason behind that or just habit? Like, what was their purpose for doing that?
They couldn't accept it.
Yeah, I got you.
That was the reason. They couldn't accept it. And the weird thing, it's so weird. I've been told, and I've kind of looked it up as well, that when people get plastic surgery and they look in the mirror, they see a totally different face, and there's like a moment. There's moments of regret.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I changed my name, there was moments of regret. I was like, "Wait a second,
yeah.
Is this me or is this not me?" So that was another layer to transitioning to being adopted. Was I'm Mackenzie now, but I wasn't. So what does that mean for me? What does that look like? And so I think the name change added an extra layer of struggle to figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I changed it.
I'm glad I changed it too. So for the most part, honestly, where did you get your name?
So,
because like I named myself after my mom. My mom's name was Alicia, and then I remember I had like three middle names picked out. Valerie was one of them.
Alicia Valerie?
And then Melody was one, and then another one. I can't remember what it was, but we picked out Melody, and that's been my middle name since then.
Mackenzie, you said yours is embarrassing. Please do tell.
So I've never been someone to be like, oh, I'm going to pick a family name. I'm like, that's gross.
Yeah.
Why do you want to be named after someone else? Be your own
that's
person.
Gross.
I'm like, so for me, it was very much like, be your own person. Who do you want to be? You can pick whatever name, and that kind of changes how people view you and look at you. I was in fifth grade at this time, so I was picking names like Stormy Winds and like
Stormy Winds, like Silver Lake.
Exactly. And I was kind of a horse girl, so I think that's part of the reason why the names I was picking were so stupid. But like, let's be realistic. Like, could you imagine me walking in and introducing myself? Hey, I'm Stormy Lake. Like, that would... I don't know.
That's one of the coolest names I've ever heard in my life. I want to be her friend. Her name is Stormy Lake.
I don't know
either
about that.
Either that or stay away from her. Right. She's Stormy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I kept coming up with these dumb names. And my mom later told me, she was like, I was really worried when the social worker came. Because I didn't tell anybody the name that I was going to pick. And so in the back of my head, I was going to go with Kirsten, actually. Before I picked Mackenzie, I was going to go with Kirsten. And I don't know, something just, it didn't sit right. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm Mackenzie Rose. That's what I'm going to pick. So when the social worker came, my mom's over there like staring me down like, if she says a bad name, I'm going to reject it right here and there. But like,
shut this down now.
Exactly. And so I remember I was sitting on the couch and I like all of a sudden she's like, oh, what do you want your name to be? And I sat up all proper and I was like, Mackenzie Rose Smith, M-A-K-E-N-Z-I. And she was like, okay then.
Okay.
There you go. And I was like, that's my name. So then that's how I had my name. But I'm glad I deferred to other names instead of those other crazy that's ones. Awesome.
It is crazy because there's just this whole book of names that you can pick.
Well, it's hard enough to name your child. You know, like, but name yourself, I can't imagine, like, having a legit opportunity to do that, you know?
It's weird, too, because, like, people look at you and they're like, you don't look like an Alicia. You don't look like a Mackenzie. But then, like, a year or two passes and it's like, wow, I couldn't believe that was your old name because you look like an Alicia.
Yeah.
So, like I said, yeah, the name change, that was definitely something that was big and stuff. So,
for sure.
But...
my goodness, I can't imagine the, I don't know what I would, like, if I had to do it now, I have no idea. I would ask Sarah, what do I name myself? So, okay, so in our notes here, it says a huge recent milestone in both of your lives. Are we going to talk about that?
Well,
we've kind of
already talked about Kenzie's, I guess, but.
Oh, yeah, we did. What about yours? I know what yours is, Alicia. I was there.
Yes, I just got married, actually, so.
To Trey Firth.
Trey Firth, yes. And, you know, Kenzie and I were talking about that, and that's just crazy just because foster care itself, it's just about God's plan, mm-hmm. you know? And when you hear the story, if you haven't heard Trey Firth's story, like, you need to hear it because it kind of goes along with this. If God hadn't moved in Trey's life.
Oh, yeah.
And my life, you know, if the things that I had, like, I wouldn't have ever met Trey. When I came up here and visited, actually, I left Thursday. And that following Monday, Trey had actually, like, just gotten out of jail.
Wow.
So, like, there's, and, you know, Trey and I will be like, I'll be like, man, like, why didn't I meet you sooner?
Yeah.
But obviously there was some plan behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And why God obviously. Didn't want us, our paths to cross. At all. So
he has his timing.
It's exactly.
The will of God outside of the timing of God is not what you want.
And you know, if God had, and I think I was praying like a year before Trey and I got engaged, you know, and it was just like, well, God, like, what is your plan for me? And I remember God was like, if I told you what I have planned for you, you would laugh in my face. And yeah, I would laugh in God's face. You're going to marry a guy who's in prison right now.
Currently in prison.
Yeah. You know,
gotta wait till he gets out.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's things like that where it's just, so yeah, I mean, I did end up meeting Trey and we only dated for 4 months until we were engaged. But yeah. I guess just if you know, you know, and I didn't hide it from my mom. You know, I was just like, hey, I'm talking to this guy. Just want to let you know he got out of prison. But like everybody.
But he's good now.
And everybody loves him, you know. And I mean, I obviously joke around, but I'm like, you know, if you ever go to jail again, I'm not going to be happy.
Right.
So, yeah. So that was my big milestone is that I just got married. And yeah.
Well, speaking about God's timing, this is actually really, I thought was really interesting. Because when you look at all the stuff you've gone through, especially with us with foster care and our family life and all the messy things that we went through, it's kind of just God's way of showing he loves and he knows what he's doing. When I was 3 years old, my babysitter was apostolic.
Oh, wow.
And she actually took us to church, and I loved church, and I would sing and dance, and I'd go home and sing and dance, and my parents would see it. And I remember the first time we went to family camp when we were with the Smiths. She like was walking down the gravel road, and she saw me and my brothers, and she was like, "Oh my goodness, I used to take these three little kids to church with me." And now, years later, God has brought them back into church and brought them back into truth. But so it kind of tells me that what we went through during that time was needed.
Oh, yeah.
for something. And so it's really amazing when you think of God's timing, and that sometimes you have to go through some horrible things before God can use you for something else.
But yeah, it's pretty much like a beauty from ashes, I guess, as it says in Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and planting the Lord, that he might be glorified. So, I mean, you get these kids. I remember, you know, growing up, and I struggled with it. You know, I struggled with the depression, and it was just like, why didn't I ever get to go back to my parents? Mm-hmm. You know, you like I said, we continued to do foster care, and you would see, like I said, you saw kids. And like when they went home, you were just like, I know they're gonna go back into foster care again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, it was God's plan. God knew what our parents were gonna do. He knew everything, and he, you know, if that stuff hadn't have happened, if our parents hadn't have messed up, like I said, we wouldn't be where we are. And there is beauty in it, because you do look at it. Four of us were adopted. My sister and I are still in church. Our brothers,
backslid.
They backslid. We do have one that goes, and he brings his daughter, mm-hmm. and stuff. But I mean, something. Our parents did something right.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, and out of all the mess, the verse says it's all for God's glory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I know I hear sometimes people be like, why am I going through blah, 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 this and this and this? I'm like, somewhere along the line, God's going to use it to glorify himself.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's God's plan and what he has for you, so.
And that plan is already established before we were ever even thought of, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. from the very beginning. And I heard Brother Jeff Arnold talk about Jesus. You know, the Bible says that when the angel is telling them that he's going to be born, says, and he shall be great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's not talking about, he said, you know, never said he was great when he was born, but what made him great? And what made him great was everything that he overcame, that he didn't allow to get into his spirit. Basically just the junk he dealt with, mm-hmm. is what made him great. And that's really, you know, like you said, Mackenzie, we go through stuff, and it's so that God is glorified. And also, we become better people because of it.
Yeah.
And it's just just the way life goes when you live walking this walk with him.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you have better understanding. Like Alicia said, we both went through depression. I went through suicide. And I can't even count how many people I've talked to about they're going through depression now. Mm-hmm. They're feeling suicidal now. And I'm like, hang on, like, yep. look at what I'm doing now. You can make it. And so it's almost like you can connect on a deeper level with people than if you haven't gone through it.
That's right.
If you haven't been there, you can't pray for someone in a way that if you've never experienced it, you can't pray for someone with that heartbreak. You can't pray with that empathy and that compassion. And you can't intercede for them in a way unless God gives that emotion to you, or you've already been through it. So it's a beautiful thing when you think about it,
mm-hmm.
that these brokenness, this brokenness that people are going through, it's almost like God saying, here, you go through it, because I know I've created you to be able to handle this.
Right.
And now you're going to go and apply that somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing to see how God's doing that.
And mm-hmm. I think it'll definitely help us in the ministries that God has planned for us.
Oh, I already know it's I already know it's going to, with what's going to happen in the future. I've talked to people about it. And I know God, with the people that I'm going to go and work with, a lot of them are very broken people. And they they're in a place where they're being moving from one culture to a different culture, moving and having a lot of brokenness with them, divided families. And I've been there and done that, and so God's going to use that to help me minister to people who I've already been in their place.
A few things before we wrap up here. Mackenzie, talk about going to, you went to secular college as well.
Yes. When I was 12 years old, God called me to missions. And when I was a little 12-year-old, not really understanding, this ties in, by the way, not really understanding what missions was or what it even means. I didn't even tell anybody about it for a few years to be, or maybe a year after I felt that calling. And so I pursued it at first, but then as I got older, I guess shame and guilt of being in foster care, coming from a broken home, I was running from that calling. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why I ended up going to secular college. So
she was a Jonah, you guys.
Right.
Very much so. And so before I was going to go to secular college, God was calling me to Bible school then, and I rejected it. I was like, no way, God. I'm not going to be a missionary. Like, I'm not going to do that stuff. I'm going to go to secular college, and I'm going to go make good money, and I'll never have to be dependent on anybody again. And so God, you know, he allows you to make your mistakes.
Okay, go ahead. Try that.
And so I went to secular college, and I wanted to be a doctor. And it's so funny. The whole time I was in secular college, I was wrestling with myself and wanting to go and do missions. And so I kept changing my major over and over again. And I remember telling my dad, I'm like, oh, Dad, I'm going to graduate with this degree. And he's like, we'll see when you graduate, because I changed it so many times.
Right, exactly.
And I ended up doing social work. And I graduated with a degree in social work. And I went and got my license. And I worked as a social worker for a few years. But I didn't fully tell myself I was going to graduate with social work until I decided that yes, God, I'm gonna bend to your will, and I'm gonna do missions. And it wasn't until then. So I know somehow social work's gonna relate with what I'm gonna do,
mm-hmm.
and it already kind of has with the people that I've worked with. And so it's ironic that God used my running away to college to get a degree and a job that I thought I can do everything on my own to use it so that his will could still be done, and I'd come away with skills and experiences to be able to take it to the mission field as well. And who knows, maybe I might need that degree later and that licensure later to go in to places that I might not be able to go to without it. And so
right.
Looking back at it now, I mean, it wasn't the smartest thing to run away from what God wanted for me to do, but in the end, God changed it and used it so that I could go and do what he wanted me to do.
Right. And that's true. Like, that having that license isn't going to hurt you.
Oh,
you know,
no.
It can only help you. So there you go.
It'll be good. It'll be almost like a good cover-up, I guess, if you have to be so discreet about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, so.
Yeah. I've actually talked to a few missionaries about that, and some of them have said maybe this would be a good way, if you can't go into certain countries, you can go in as something else, and
yeah.
God can use that. So,
amen. Who knows what he's going to do?
Exactly.
I think we've established that by now, haven't we?
Yeah, so definitely.
Absolutely. Ladies, any final thoughts here as we wrap up?
I just want to just give a shout out to anyone who does foster care, my parents. It's hard, you know, but it is so worth it. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't think I could do it just because it is an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
But my parents feel like doing foster care is their call for God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
they have a ministry with working with broken kids.
Yeah.
And God has definitely used foster care as a conduit in which to do it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because just recently our little brothers just received the Holy Ghost.
I saw that.
And
that's awesome.
They got baptized, and just everything that they have been through. They like we came from a broken home, but they have seen the worst.
Yeah.
You know, and just to see what God has done through them. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know? So yes. So just shout out to any foster
Absolutely.
Families and stuff. So.
And adopted families. Anyone
yes.
that's adopted. Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, you guys thank y'all so much for being here. It's been an awesome conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And I appreciate y'all.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Do you have anything that people can, like, help you, like, donation or anything like that?
Yes. If you follow me on Facebook and Instagram, it is in my little about and profile. I have places where people can go and donate for my AIM trip. And if they'd be so kind to do that, that would be phenomenal to help me get where I really want to go.
So what's your Instagram name?
Oh, my Instagram name is Kenzie Rose, KENZIROSE 20. And then my Facebook name is Mackenzie Rose.
There you go. And we'll put the link in the description and all these things. Just so I've been getting on people about the descriptions. I know y'all ain't reading them. You better go down there and see that information, because now you can help somebody out. Go to do the work of the Lord. All right, ladies. Well, thank y'all again so much. And to you, listener, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.